this year, as well as all Seder Kodshim, is Leilu Nishmas Yaakov Tzvi Kupiecki. Our Shir today, Masechta Erechin, Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. We will begin at the first words of Daf Yud Beis. In our previous shurim, we have been discussing the halacha that when a carbon is brought, the Levim sang Shira. And as we also learned, the Shira was sung when the Nesachim of the carbon were poured on the Mizbeach by the Nischei Hayayin. Asked the Gemari Boilehu. So they asked the following question. Nesachim Abayim Mifnei Atzmam. And as we discussed in the previous year, the Gemara here is referring to a situation where somebody brought the Nesachim, somebody brought a carbon, and the halacha is that maybe Adam Kabana Hayoim, somebody could bring his carbon today, and the Nesachim could be brought many days later. And asks Al Gemara, the Nesachim Abayim Mifnei Atzmam, when somebody brings these Nesachim by themselves, Tunin Shira ain't Tunin Shira. Is Shira required or not? That's the way we're going to learn the Gemara. Although there are Rishonim that say that the Gemara is asking that since the halacha is that the Nesachim, somebody can bring a carbon Nesachim, and the halacha is that somebody who brings a carbon Nesachim, the Gemara wants to know, the halacha is that such a carbon is accepted, is Shira said with that carbon or not? As we learned in our previous shir, since the halacha is that whenever yayin is brought, shira must be sung, and therefore when the Nesachim are brought by himself, clearly it's an indication, Amrinan, that shira must be sung. Adoma, or perhaps Achil v'shtiyah Amrinan, only when there's an Achil and Shtiyah is there a din of Nesachim, Ashtil Chudah, but when there's Nesachim themselves, Lo Amrinan, shira is not sung. The Mefarshim debate, what does the Gemara mean with Achil v'shtiyah? Most Mefarshim explain that the Shtiyah here means the Zrikas Adam. And what the Gemara is saying is that perhaps only when there is both Zrikas Adam together with the Nesachim being poured, that's when there's a Chiyuv Shira. But if there is no Zrikas Adam taking place, even though there are Nesachim taking place, it's not enough for there to be Shira. Others explain that Shtiyah Achila here, as it typically means through Shas, means Hector Amrin. The Gemara means when there's a chil of a shtia, when there's Hector Amrim and the Sachim being poured, that's when Shira certainly said. If you only have the Sachim, the Gemara is not quite sure what is the halacha. The Mechas Chinach and the Avdi Nezer discuss, we know that actually with a carbon, not just Nischei Yayin are brought, but Mechas Nesachim are brought with a carbon. And a mechas nesachim means that there's a carbon mincha and nesachim. So what would be the halacha if the actual carbon is not being brought, but the mechas nesachim is being brought? So we have the mincha portion and we have the nesachim portion. So certainly one could argue we have now a situation of achila v'shtiya, and certainly Shira said, and that they say is actually the opinion of a number of Rishonim. Other Rishonim, however, they say that only when it's Achilas Basar, when a carbon is being brought, does the Gemara mean that for sure Shira should be said. But if it's a Mincha, that's not what the Gemara means with Achil V'shtiyah. The Mefarshim also ask a very fundamental question. In our previous year, we learned that the Shira was only sung by day, not by night. So they asked the following question. What is the Gemara trying to teach us? For if the halacha is, they suggest, that the only time the Sachim are, the only time Shira is sung is when the Sachim is brought together with the carbon, so the halacha is that carbon is never brought at night. We know that the no avoda might take place at night. If the Torah, as we learned in the previous year, said, Ma kapara b'yoyim, af shira b'yoyim, that shira may not be sung at night. Isn't the Gemara obviously referring to a situation where you're just bringing in the sochem, and obviously the halach is that from the sochem itself you do say shira, and the Gemara is teaching us that by night that halacha doesn't apply. But isn't that clearly an indication that from the sochem alone you bring shira? So why isn't that an obvious answer to our question? So the Achrayim grapple with this question. They really try to come up with different answers. One answer I saw is that we'd learned in the previous year that Bikurim, when they brought Bikurim, they said Shira. And the Gemara that we learned yesterday, that Shira wouldn't be sung at night, is speaking about if the Bikurim were brought at night, they wouldn't say Shira. Another teretz is that the halacha is that if they want to expand the Azara, or they want to expand the borders of Yerushalayim, there's a whole procedure that was required, bringing carbon toida, and they had a sing when that carbon toida was brought, and that could be done, those lachme toida could be brought by night. That's what the Gemara says, that if they're brought by night, shira isn't sung. Another answer is very connected to the issue we just discussed, because we just discussed that according to some Rishonim, Minchas Nesachim, that means you bring both the Karban Mincha and the Nesachim, everybody agrees that Shira should be sung. And that's what the Gemara, and that's not what our Gemara is even discussing. And that's when the Gemara in the previous year taught us that Shira is sung when you bring Minchas Nesachim, but not by night. But our question, when you're bringing Nesachim itself, we still need to try to answer. Tashma. So the Gemara again quotes what we discussed at the end of yesterday's Shira. The Bryce, it says, Rav Yosef Omer, Begalgun Schus L'Yom Zakai, good things happen on bad days, on good days, and bad things happen on bad days. And the Gemara said that on Tisha B'Av, they were singing the Shira, and the Pasuk of Yetzmisim, Hashem Elokeinu, fell into their mouth. Ask the Gemara, Hai Shira Ma'evedetei, why were they singing Shira? Ilaim Dailus Chayva, that they brought the carbon oil, the carbon tamid, and they were singing Shira. Ask the Gemara, Mi Hava? Was there carbon tamid available on Tisha B'Av? Habishivas Matamiz, Batla Tamid. There was no longer any carbon tamid from Shivas Matama. Ella, Toilus Nadava. Must be that speaking about the oil, maybe they were bringing Oilus Nadava. So Briskarov makes a very powerful point. He says, we know that Gemara says that you're not allowed to be makriv any carbon before you bring the Talmud Shel Shachar. So if our Gemara is saying, says the Brisker Rav, that they didn't have any longer any animal available for the Oilus Talmud, and therefore didn't bring the Oilus Talmud, so how could the Gemara suggest that they brought an Oilus Nadava? Isn't the halacha you can't bring a Nadava until you brought the Talmud? So says the Brisker Rav, the pshat in that halacha, that you can't bring the oilus tamid, you can't bring any carbon until you bring the oilus tamid, is only on a day that you're going to bring the oilus tamid. If today is the day I bring the oilus tamid, which is normally the case, of course, I may not bring any other carbon until I bring the oilus tamid. But if they're no longer bringing the oilus tamid, because they ran out of animals, and they only sometimes find an animal that they can use for oilus nadava, then certainly there is no limitation that we can't bring that oilus nadava until they bring the oilus tamid. Asked Eldos Dava. So Gemara is suggesting they were singing Shira because they brought Eldos Dava. Asked the Gemara, Vatana Reb Mari Bered of Kahana Deloit Tzricha, that when you bring Eldos Dava, you don't sing Shira. Ella, Lav, what must have been happening? The Nesachim. They were just bringing the Nesachim alone, and they were singing the Shira for the Nesachim. So isn't this clearly an indication that for the Nesachim alone, we sing Shira? Asked the Gemara, the entire situation is difficult. Because Amar Rav Yitamer of Ashi, Vatizbra Shira de Yoime, can we then suggest that this was a normal situation? As we said, and we'll discuss this more, the Gemara said that the Tisha B'Av of the year that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed was on a Sunday. And what is the Shira you sing on Sunday? Lashem Aretz Meloyoi. What were they singing? V'yashalem Es Oinam. We spoke about yesterday. Oberasam yetzmisu, v'lespiku loim yetzmisem Hashem Elokeinu, atchba oivim. So we have a fundamental question. If this happened on Sunday, what are they singing Wednesday's song? So Tosfos says, you know why they were singing Wednesday's song? Because maybe the Gemara is referring to a situation where the carbon was brought on Wednesday, as we started today's shiur, and the Nesachim are being brought a number of days later. And when you bring the Nesachim on the following Sunday, you sing the shiur of the day that you brought the carbon, which was on a Wednesday. Answers Tosfos, that if the halacha is that you sing shira when you bring the Nesachim, you sing the shira of the day you bring the Nesachim, not the shira of the day that the carbon was brought. So that can't be the Gemara's teretz. Ella, so how do we understand that situation? Ayla ba'alma hu d'nafalei b'pamayu. What must have happened is that they were singing, and this just fell into their mouth as a simon of the tzaros that are coming. So how can you say that pshat? V'ayim d'mal duchanim k'tani. Doesn't it say that they were standing on the duchen? So it obviously wasn't just something that happened by accident, answered the Gemara. The situation, what happened there was, could be Shlokish, as Rish Lakish taught us yesterday. Damar, Shlokish, I'm a Shira Shloyal carbon. If they want, they could sing Shira even without a carbon. And what happened was, this is what was happening. They started singing, and this pasuk of Yetzmisem Hashem Elokeinu fell into their mouth. I saw a nice pshat. Why specific this pasuk of Yetzmisem Hashem Elokeinu? So Mefarshim explained, what are the two letters of the word Yetzmisem? Tof Mem. Tof Mem stands for Toma. Toma Schus Ovois. The Schus Ovois that helped Klai Yisrael survive expired. And therefore the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So what Rish Lakish is teaching us is, they sang Shira not because of Nesachim. They sang Shira because you have a right to sing Shira without Nesachim at all. Ask the Gemara, if that's the case, that you could sing Shira without Nesachim, Yehoch B'Sachim Nami Lema. So certainly you should be able to say Shira even if you bring Nesachim himself. Answers the Gemara, Nafik Menei Charba. It may be worse when you sing Shira on Nesachim than when you don't sing him at all. Why? Because people are going to come to make the mistake, this way Rashi can explain, that just like the Nesachim, the Shira you sing when you bring the Nesachim alone, are a Rishus, you're not obligated to do it, it's voluntary, they're going to think that the Nesachim that you sing when you bring a Karma Chayva are also voluntary. But that isn't true. Those Nesachim are obligatory with a Karma Chayva. So to avoid that mistake, the halacha may be that if there's no Nesachim, Rish Lakish says rightly, you could sing. But if there are Nesachim Nedava, don't sing, because you could come to make a mistake that even by Nesachim, where you're obligated, it's not absolutely obligatory. Others say just the opposite. Others say that people are going to come to make the mistake that just like by the Nesachim with a carbon Tzibra Tzachayva, by the Nesachim without the, which are not part of a carbon Chayva, it's a Chayv, and that's not true. It's really not a Chayv then. So what happens now, for the rest of our shir, is since we've been learning already twice, this brisa about when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the Gemara focuses on that. Gufa says the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef Ben Galgal and Schus L'Yom Zakai, good things happen on good days, bad things happen on bad days, and Rishona, the Beis HaMikdash Harisha was Chorev, B'Motzei Shvi'is, that it was destroyed on a year after the Shemitah. Ask the Gemara Mimishkachasla, how can we say that happened? And a word of history is required. We know that the Beis HaMikdash Rishon was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. What happened was, Nebuchadnezzar became king, and as we'll see soon, the first year of his monarchy, he was establishing his position. It was the year that he captured Nineveh. And the second year, he put his eyes on Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim on the Beis HaMikdash. The first thing he did was that he appointed Yehoyakim to be his vassal, to be his puppet. And for 3 years, Yehoyakim acted in that way. For 3 years, Yehoyakim rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar. Ultimately, at the seventh year, first, there was a short period where Yehoyakim was replaced by his son Yehoyachon. And ultimately, in the seventh year, your yochin, and as the pasuk says, the cherish and the masger. The cherish and masger we always know represent the leadership of Klal Yisrael. Cherish, that when everybody else speaks, when they speak, everybody's quiet. Masger, they're able to complete their position. Their psak is a final psak. Went to Golus, and included in that Golus was Yecheskel, who's the person that this pasuk that we're reading now say is speaking. And then Tzidkio was appointed to be the Melech. And then 11 years yet later, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So here Yecheskel makes the following statement. 25 years I'm in Golus. Rosh Hashanah Bessel Chodesh. So right away we have a problem here, because Rosh Hashanah is not on the 10th of a month. Then we will focus it. This 25th year after Armagolus is 14 years after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. He sees a Nevuah. And he states his Nevuah. So now the Gemara starts to try to understand this pasuk. Ezi Shana, first of all, to understand the first obvious question is pasuk. Ezi Shana Shrosh Hashanah Be'asul Chaydish. How could the pasuk say that Rosh Hashanah was on the 10th of the month? What Rosh Hashanah is ever on the 10th of the month? The answer is, have Oim Zay Yovel. Which we know that Halach is, in the Yovel year, they blew the Shofar on Yom Kippur. We learned the other day that they even said, Zichronius Malchus and Shofaris. And that was the day that the Yovel rules kicked in. So we obviously see, from this pasuk, that the 25th year after Yecheskel went to the Golus, 14 years after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, was a Yovel year. Now, as far as the Gemara is concerned at this point, what is the cycle of Yovel? The cycle of Yovel was actually a machlokes of the Rabbanan Rabbi Yehuda as follows. There are 7 Shemitah cycles, every 70 years Shemitah. The 49th year is a Shemitah, 7 times 7. Year 50 is a Yovel. And then year 51, we start the count again. So here the Gemara is describing that 14 years after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, which was 25 years after Yecheskel went into Golus, is when is a Yovel year. Now, let's understand. V'sakadatach, if we're going to say, b'chad b'shvura charif, that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in the first year after it was destroyed in the year after Shemitah, which means the first year of a Shemitah cycle, Michad b'shvur l'chad b'shvur, from one Shemitah to another Shemitah, tamni, are only 8 years. L'chad b'shvur achrina, for the next, chamisha asra chavim. So the Gemara is saying, if the year after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, if the year of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, I'm sorry, was a Matzah Shvius, was the first year of the count, so then 8 years later would be the next Shemitah, and 15 years later would be the Shemitah after. V'sakdat v'chad v'shvu charif, the destruction of Beis HaMikdash was the first year of the count, from the first year to the next first year of the Shemitah count Tamni, to the next Shvuach Rinas Chamisha Asahavin. So how can we say that year was the 14th year was a Yovel year? A Yovel year can't be 14 years after a year, which is the year after Shemitah. By definition, a Yovel year has to be minimum 15 years after. How does the pasuk say it was 14 years after? Because again, a yovel, every cycle is 7. 7 plus 7 is 14. Plus 1 equals 15. He's saying it was in the 14th year was a yovel year. The 14th year couldn't be a yovel year if the first year that we're counting is the first of the Shemitah cycle. It would have to be at least 15. Amravina. Says Ravina, we're explaining the pasuk wrong. We're assuming that we start counting from the actual year of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And we start counting from that year, Yovel could either be 8 years later or 15 years later. That's not true, says the Gemara. It's not that we start counting from that year, we start counting from the year after. So let's think about it. If the year of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash was year one of the cycle, Matzu Shvi'is, the year one of the cycle, then the next year was year two, and Yovel could be 14 years later. And that's what the way to look at the Pasuk. Don't look at the Pasuk 14 years from the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, counting the year of the destruction, start counting the year after. Amar Vina, Ba'aba Asri Shana, when we speak about 14 years, Acha Shana Shuksa year. We don't count the year of the actual destruction, we count the year after. Ask the Gemara, but if that's the case, we have a different problem. Ihachi, why does Yechezkel say that he saw this vision? That's 25 years after he went into Golus. It's not 25 years after he went into Golus. It's 26 years after he went into Golus. And the Gemara explains itself. Damamar, Golu B'Sheva, they went into Golus 7 years after Yehoyakim was appointed to be the king, which is Golu B'Shemayna, we'll see this in the Gemara soon, which is 8 years after Nebuchadnezzar became king, and Golu B'Yudches, then as I said earlier, 11 years later, 18 minus 7 equal 11, is when Tzidkiyahu was deposed, and the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and they went into Golus, which is Golu B'Yudches, which is 19 years, from when Nebuchadnezzar became king. So Gemara makes its point. Misheva atam nesari, as we just said a moment ago, from the year number 7, atam nesari, until 18, at year 7 is when Yechezkel went into Golus. From when Yechezkel went into Golus, until the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, how many years do we have? 11. Because he went into Golus at year 7 of Yoyakim's reign, and the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed year 18 from his reign, 18 minus 7 equals 11. And now we have Chamesh Esrei. We're saying that there were 15 years from when the Golus, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, until this vision, 15 plus 11, Esrim V'Shitava. It's 26. Yet Yechezkel says in the pasuk that we read that he saw and says his nevuah in year number 25. It must be that we don't count that year. We start counting the year after, and that's where we have 25. Amruach Ravina, says Ravina, Uldach Minicha, and according to you, is this understandable? Let's look at the pasuk. Nichti. He is making the following, as we already, so to speak, answer this question. But he's learning that when the Braisa said Golu B'Shemayna Asrei, Golu B'Shasrei, it doesn't mean 18 years from Yoyakim, 19 years from Nebuchadnezzar, but it means that the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash took 2 years, year 18 and year 19. So he asked the following question. Michti, Golu Nami B'Shasrei. We just said that they went into Golus at 18 and 19. So if we say that Yechezkel went into Golus in the 7th year, and the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Chasrei, in the 19th year, how many years do we have? 12. 7 to 19 is 12. And you're saying that this took 14 years? 14 plus 12 are Esther Vashit. She says, even according to your interpretation, we have a problem. When the Pasuk says 25, it's really 26. Ela, Mayas L'Chameimah. The only way to resolve this question is by saying Levar Mishata the Golu. We don't count the year of the actual Golus, and that's why we save a year. Lidi, I too agree that when we say 14, we don't mean we start counting from the actual year of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Levar Mishata the Golu, we don't count that year. Ask the Gemara, Mikamakoim Chisu Ravina Kasha. According to Ravina, we have a problem. If we count from 7 to 19 is 12. And yes, we figured out that it's only 14. But still, 12 plus 14 equals 26. The Pasuk says 25. Says the Gemara, there's a fundamental misunderstanding of the Braisa. Mi savrit, sholosh golos hava, that there was a golos in year 7, there was a golos in year 18, and there was a golos in year 19? No. The way to understand the Braisa, as we said earlier, is as follows. There was only two events that took place. Golu b'shevele kivishe Yaakov, in year 7, after Yaakov was appointed as the Nebuchadnezzar, is when Yecheskel and Yoyachon went into Golus, which that year, which is the 7th after Yoyachon, was appointed Nebuchadnezzar's puppet, is Shmua in a Nebuchadnezzar, is the 8th year of his monarchy. Gol of Shmaine Esrei Lekibish Yoyachon, and then the 18th year after he was appointed to that position, they, basically, she was destroyed and they went into Golus, Tzidkio, Shichei Esrei Nebuchadnezzar was the 19th year of his reign. Why? Why is everything pushed off a year? Nebuchadnezzar's reign and what happened with the Golus, because as we said, Shana Rishana, the first year of Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, Kibish Nineveh, he first had to capture Nineveh, and only Shnia, only in the second year, did he put his eyes on Yerushalayim, all over Kibish Yaakov. So, we've been able to understand how indeed the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash took place in the year after Shemitah. And this Pasuk of Abba Asr, as we said, is not the year of that destruction, but actually it's the year. Do we start to count the year after? And indeed, 14 years later was a Yovel. But the Braisa, as we learned earlier, said that whatever happened during the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash Rishon happened by Shnia. It came by Shnia. Ask the Gemara, V'Shnia b'Shmat HaShviyas b'Mishkach Sla. How could we conceivably think that the Beis HaMikdash Sheni was destroyed in a year after Shemitah Michti? Ask them, well, let's try to understand. Beis Sheni Kamakam. For how long did the second Beis HaMikdash stand? 420 years. So the Gemara does some easy math. Abameya, when we have 40 years, Tamna Yovel. There are eight yovels. 8 times 50 equals 400. Now we have 20 remainder. Abaser, when we have 14 years, Treshvua. There are two Shemitahs in 14 years. Pashal Shit. So there's 6 years left over. So year 420 is Havalei B'Shita B'Shvua, is in the 6th year of a Shemitah cycle. So how could the Braisa say that whatever happened by Beis HaMikdash Rishon, which one of the things we established by the destruction of Beis HaMikdash Rishon, it was the year after the Shemitah cycle, it was year 8, according to our Gemara, it was B'Shita B'Shvua, it was in year 6. Answers the Gemara, Hamani, we have to say, as we said earlier, Rabbi Yehudahi, that the Tan of this Braisa doesn't agree with Rabbanon, that it's 50-year cycles. That means you have 7 Shemitahs, 49. Year 50 is Yovel. And then year 51, we begin a new cycle. Rather, according to Reb Yehuda, year 50 has in it two things. On one hand, year 50 is the year of Yovel, but year 50 is also the first year of the new Shemitah count. It's the first year of the new Shemitah count. Interesting, the obvious nafkamina is that normally by Shemitah, you work for 6 years, and then the 7th year is Shemitah. But the Shemitah after Yovel, given that he holds that year 50 is year 1, and then you only can begin working on year 2, you'll only have in that time 5 years to work. So says the Gemara, fine. We're going to say it's going according to Yehuda. Domer, as we just said, whose opinion is, Shnas Chamishim Oil L'Kan L'Kan. The 50th year is the Yovel year, but it's also the first year of the new count. So says the Gemara, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if we have 8 Yovels in 400 years, we save 8 days. I said Tamnyo Metamna Yovel. Add 8 days, 8 more years, V'Hanishit, and then you have 6, Haver Abesa. So 8 that we just gained, because Rabbi Yehuda counts the 50th year as the Yovel year, but also the first of the new cycle. So in 8 Yovels, you gain 8 years. Plus the 6 that we started, this piece of Gemara that we already have in the bank. 8 plus 6 equals 14. And as Tosfos says, when we say that the Beis HaMikdash Sheni stood 420 years, what it means is it stood 420 years, and the year after, year 421, was when it was destroyed, which is exactly the year after. Year 420 was a Shemitah, and year 421 was the year after Shemitah. Ishtakech, the B'mes Matzah Shivi is Charev. So by establishing that this Brisa follows the opinion of Yehuda, we were able to understand how the Beis HaMikdash Sheni destruction, year 421, was the year after a Shemitah. Ask the Gemara, but if we're going to say that this Brisa follows the opinion of Yehuda, Ibrav Yehuda, B'rishayin Olam Mishkach Sla, we have to also remember that the Brisa spoke about the Beis HaMikdash Rishon. And that the Brisa said that the Beis HaMikdash Rishon was destroyed the year after Yovel. But if this Brisa is following the opinion of Yehuda, that won't work. The Tanya. The Brisa says, Shvasri Yovelus, Mani Yisrael, Mishenichnasul Oret Vachiyatsu. From when Klal Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael until they left by the Beis HaMikdash Rishon, they counted 17 Yovels. How do we get to that? Because we know that the Beis HaMikdash was built 480 years after Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim. But the first 40 years don't count, because the first 40 years they were in the Midbar. So we only have 440 years. The Beis HaMikdash Rishon stood 410 years. 440 plus 410 equal 850. So if we say that every 50 years is a new Yovel, so we divide 850 by 50, and it comes out to be 17. Perfect. Let's learn the Braisa. The Tanya, Shva Esri Yovelus, Mani Yisrael Mishnichnasul Oretz, that there were 17 Yovelus from when Klai Yisrael entered at Yisrael, V'yashri Yotzu. V'yati Yochel Loimer, continues the Braisa, Mishar Shnichnasul Manu, but we can't work this way, because if that's going to be the case, so then the year of the destruction, Nimtza Bayis Chara B'tchilas Yovel. Year 850 is a Yovel year. V'yata Moitza, then the pasuk that we began this sugya, that says, Ba'aba Os Rishona Acha Shehuksa year, that not that year is a Yovel, but Yecheskel is declaring 14 years after the Chorban is a Yovel. So now we have a very big problem. If we're saying that we follow this opinion, so then the year of the Yovel was the year of the destruction. 14 years later can't be a Yovel. So how do we understand? El Tzei Mehem, what we have to do is, we counted 850, but it's really not 850, because we counted 440 from when they entered Eretz Yisrael, and the 410 of the standing in the Beis HaMikdash. We have to deduct Sheva Shekivshu Sheva Shechilku. 14 years that it took while they captured and divided Eretz Yisrael, which is perfect, because we're going to learn in tomorrow's shiur that that's actually how long it took to divide, conquer and divide Eretz Yisrael. So if that's the case, we just gained 14 years, which are the 14 years, the pasuk says, 14 years after the Chorban, we started this sugya, Yecheskel declaring, was a Yovel year. At the Maitza, we could understand Baba Asra Shana Acha Shehuksa year was a Yovel year. Why during those 14 years did Yovel not take place? So Mefarshim explained, because Yovel is only applicable where people have their property. Once you have your property, the halachos of Yovel apply. Till you have your property, Yovel doesn't apply. And in fact, we should say that not only that the din of Yovel not apply during those 14 years, the din of Trumas and Maisris didn't apply. Because they say until Yovel kicks in and Shemitah kicks in, Maisa doesn't kick in. Another pshat is, because the Pasuk says regarding Maisa, B'mokma Sheyivkar, that means they had to arrive at Mishkan Shiloh, and Mishkan Shiloh wasn't erected until those 14 years of capture and division took place. And then I saw a beautiful pshat. Why? What do we do with Truma Maisa? What we do with Truma Maisa is we distribute it to the Kohanim and Leviim. Why? Because the Pasuk says, Ke'en lo chelak v'nachla imach. They don't have a portion, so what should they get? They should get the Trumas and Maisers. We have a portion of the land, they get Trumas and Maisers. But during those 14 years, we didn't have a portion either yet. So there's no reason that they should be treated differently than us. But this whole cheshbon is perfect if we say that every cycle is a 50-year cycle. So we now have the following, very simple. It's no longer 440 from when they count, from when they enter Tzitzrol. We have to deduct 14, which takes us down to 426. 426 plus 410 is 836. That was the year of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash Rishon. 14 years later, year 850, is when Yecheskel says 14 years after the Churban is a Yovel year. But what is this all based on? The opinion of the Rabbanim, that every cycle is exactly a 50-year cycle. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, who is the man, the Omer, how we explained the second part of the Braisa about the Beis HaMikdash Sheni, the cycle aren't 50-year cycles. The cycles are only 49-year cycles. So this entire calculation collapses. Ask the Gemara, the Rabbi Yehuda, if we're saying that this Braisa is following the Rabbi Yehuda, so in 17 Yovels, I see Shivsra and Shivsra Yovel. From these 17 Yovels, we have to deduct 17, Shadu Yahani, and put it on, add them, and then it turns out that the Beis HaMikdash wasn't destroyed in year 836. Havalei B'tosu B'Shvuah. It was destroyed, it wasn't in a Shemitah year, it was actually destroyed in the third year of a cycle. If it's the third year of a cycle, it's impossible mathematically that 14 years after the third year of a cycle should be a Shemitah year. That's one, should be a Yovel year. That's one problem, which is contrary to what Yecheskel said. And it's also contrary to what we're saying, that it was the year after a Shemitah, where according to this calculation, it would be the third year of a Shemitah cycle. Answers the Gemara, two truths. The first teretz is that during the time of the Beis HaMikdash Rishon, there was a time that the Aseres HaShvatim went into Galus. It was during the time of Yoshiyahu being the Melech. And those years that they were in Galus, they didn't count Yovel. Because the Halacha, as is the Halacha B'Zman Hazeh, we only count the Yovel when all of Klal Yisrael is in Eretz Yisrael. Hanach Shani, the Glenis and Cherev, those years that the ten Shvatim were in Golus, Ad the Osi Yirmiyahu Adrina, until Yirmiyahu brought them back to Eretz Yisrael, Lekach Hashvlo. And those are exactly the years that are missing. Ibai Seima, another Teretz, Loyalim Rabbanim. This price is following the opinion of the Rabbanim. If we follow the opinion of the Rabbanim, the first part of the price, which spoke about the Beis HaMikdash Rishon, is perfect, as we just explained. If that's perfect, the second part of the Braisa that says that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the Beis HaMikdash Sheni was destroyed the year after Yovel, Kik Tani V'chei Mishniya, that whatever happened by the first Beis HaMikdash happened by the second Beis HaMikdash, Ashara. It's not regarding every detail. Most of the details were the same. It was a Sunday, it was a Tisha B'Av, but not that it meant this detail as well, it was the year after the Shemitah. So now, the whole Braisa could be following the opinion of Rabbanan. The first part of the Braisa is very easy to understand. The second part of the Braisa isn't so difficult at all. Says the Gemara, Hachanami Mestabra. It makes sense that when the Braisa is comparing Churban Rishon and Churban Sheni, it doesn't mean to compare them completely. Dilay Temahachi. For if we will not say that, let's understand. What else does the Braisa say? The Braisa says that which Mishmar of Kahanim were on duty when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed? Mishmar Tisha Yarav. It says that the Mishmar of Yarav was on duty. As the Gemara Mishnei Mihavai, was the Mishmar Yarav even there by the Beis HaMikdash Shani? Vatanya. The Braisa says, in Masech Tanis, Arba Mishmaris Olam Menagayla. We know that the Kahanim are divided into 24 Mishmaris. But as we discussed in yesterday's shir, many people did not come back from Bavel to Yisrael when Ezra built the Beis HaMikdash Sheini. And from the 24 Mishmaris of the Kahanim, only 4 Mishmaris came. Ab Mishmaris Olam Menagayla. Who were they? Yadiyah, V'charim, Pashche, V'ema. Amdu Nevi'im Shebeneim. So you need to have 24 Mishmaris. So what did they do? Ezra went, V'chalkum L'chavtalad, took those 4 families and divided them into 24 Mishmaris. V'chalkum L'chavtal Mishmaris, Ba'olam V'nosna B'kalpi, and then he made a Goyrel. Machlokes Rishayim exactly what the Goyrel was. One opinion is that there were 4 pieces of paper in the Goyrel, these 4 families. Another pshat is that no, we took each family and divided them into 6. And the nace that happened was that now we have 24 pieces of paper in the Goyrel, and the nace was that all 6 of the same family came out together. So week 1 to through 6 was the first family, weeks 7 through 12 was the next family, all sticking together. Again, whatever pshat we learned, either he picked up his piece of paper that had in it 6 names, or there were 6 pieces of paper. And at that point they made a rule, Shafila Yayarav Roish Mishmaris, that Yayarav, which was always the first Mishnah, Oila, comes to Yisrael, Lo Yitcha Yedayim Mekoymai. Yedayim retains his position, El Yedayim Yikr, V'Yarav Lo Yitarfalai. Yayarav clearly will never be in the first Mishmar. Here too is a machlokes, what does it mean that Yayarav loses his spot? Some say what it means is that if Yayarav will decide to come to Yisrael, even though previously Yayarav was the first of the 24 Mishmaris, he doesn't get that spot anymore. And we'll take away one of the families, and we'll give him another spot, but not spot number 1. But many Achroinim, this is Machloikas of the Sfasemis and the Turyevin, aren't satisfied with that approach. Because they say that really isn't a punishment. He didn't come, so Yayarav, it's somewhat a punishment. Until now he was in position number 1. He won't be in position number 1. But the other families who didn't come and will come later really don't suffer. They were never in position number 1. And therefore they say, pshat, that these new 24 Mishmaris that were established always remain. They always remain. And if other Kahanim come, even though they're from families that had independent Mishmaris, they lose that opportunity to have an independent Mishmar, and they just get pushed in to one of the new Mishmaris that were established. But what's relevant to our shir? What's relevant to our shir is, the Braisa says that everything that happened by Mikdash Rishin happened by Beis Mikdash Sheini. There was no Yayarav by Beis Mikdash Sheini. But Beis Mikdash Rishin was Yayarav. So how can we say that Beis Mikdash Sheini was destroyed during the Mishnah of Yayarav if there was no Yayarav? Ella, what must we say? Ashara. The Braisa doesn't mean that everything that says happened by Beis Mikdash Rishin happened by Beis Mikdash Sheini. Most of the things. Like I said, it was Sunday. It was Tisha B'Av. But just like it wasn't the year after Shemitah, as we said, it also wasn't the Mishnah of Yayarav.